Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on,
suit on,
looking like a dapper don,
giving them all
on,
dress
like a million bucks, diamond things in his cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh,
everybody out there listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Grateful for it. Comes with a huge amount of responsibility. I didn't really know I was going to have to be this responsible. You know, can I share something with y'all? I started out to finally I had gotten on track and was able to see a way to even pursue my dream. It has been a long trip that I've been on, and I've gone through so many phases of it. It is rewarding along the way to accomplish your dreams. What I'm saying is this. Let me put it together, because I got so much running through my head right now. You know, it's one thing to accomplish your dreams, but there's joy in the process of achieving it. See, some people are so caught up in the goal, the final goal, that they find no joy, no enjoyment in the process. If you have found what it is you want to do and you strike out on that journey, please understand, you are far more blessed than the average person. Do you understand that? To know what it is you really want to do, to find your work in life, your purpose, to find out what direction you want to go in, is such a blessing. The average person, if you sit down and talk to them, oftentimes don't have their life on track. And it'd be some people that you looking at, you think got it going on because of their appearance, their swagger. Oh, they walk like it. They talk like it. They look like it. But if you sit down and talk to the average person, man, does not know what their purpose is, has not discovered what they want to do, and have no idea how to get there. If you are on the other side of that, if you understand your purpose, if you have an idea of what you want to be, and you are on your way there, you are truly blessed. And in that blessing, you must recognize it as a blessing. You must recognize the fact that you are on the right side, and that there should be a sense of accomplishment and a feeling of pride in you that you are on track to accomplish your goal. See, what used to happen was sometimes I used to keep my nose so on the grindstone that I wouldn't even look up and realize, man, hey, man, I know you're trying to get here, but Steve, hold on, man. Can't you see what you've done so far? Can't you find just some joy in the process? See, a lot of us lose the joy of the blessings God has given us because we looking at the end, talking about, I ain't there yet. You on your way. I'm going to give you an example. I had a friend who told me that they wanted to be a millionaire. And they asked me some questions. And I told them. So they started the process. And I am telling you, this dude works extremely hard. So about a year later, we were talking. He had found this business. He had set his goal, and he was working towards it. Then about 2 years later, I ran up into him again. We were talking about it and everything. He said, man, really, really appreciate the advice. He said, man, but this is all jacked up, man, because I still ain't made that million I was talking about. I said, well, hey, man, just keep at it. It's coming. He said, man, keep at it. Man, you know how long I've been doing this? And I got quiet because, yeah, I know exactly how long you've been doing. Been 2 years now. And I didn't say that to him, but I said to myself, yeah, 2 years. He said, man, I've been grinding so long, man, it ain't happening for me. I said, wait a minute, man, hold on. I said, about how much you making right now a year? Man, about $250,000. I quit breathing. I said, well, my man, 2 years ago, you didn't have a clue. 2 years later, you making $250,000? I said, man, do you understand how blessed you are? I said, man, your family was about to get put out 2 years ago. You done bought a house? Yeah, man, but this ain't the house I really want. Whoa, partner. Whoa, I got that. The house you really want might cost $5-8 million. I don't know. But, man, y'all got a house. You making the payments. You drive it. You ain't out no more. I said, hold on, man, you got to stop. I said, man, because right now, man, you coming across as real ungrateful to me. So I know God, who has done all this for you, got to be looking at you with his arms folded. But then he God, so he probably handling it all together different. I was just speculating with him. And so he said, man, why you tripping like that, man? Man, you act like don't nobody want to have nothing but you. I said, whoa, man, where you going with this conversation? I said, oh, I didn't come to you. I just came to you and asked you how you doing. And I'm trying to point out to you that the journey that you started on, that you are on your way and you are in the process of accomplishing your goals. And can you not feel some joy and some pleasure in your accomplishment? Quit tripping on the fact that you ain't made the million yet. You on your way. You done went from he thought this dude was making $15,000 a year. You making $250,000 in 2 years, man. Come on, man. Can't you see? Can't you see? So he said eventually, man, I kind of see what you're saying, but that ain't about nothing to me because I ran up into him a year and a half later. How you doing, man? Man, I sure wish I'd appreciated my life when I had it like that. I said, what you mean had it like that? Man, I just fell on some hard times, man. I'm right back where I was. And then we talked. I said, hey, man, don't worry about it. I said, once you know how to accomplish something, I said, you just reapply the same principles and start on over again. Man, you know how hard it is to be to start over? Okay, my man, hold up, partner. You finna do yourself like this again? First, you wasn't grateful for what you had. Now you're looking at the fact that you might have to start over, and you know how hard it is to start over. But you have the knowledge, the principles, and you got a little bit of money to go on and get it going again. I said, man, don't keep doing this to yourself. I said, man, you ain't grateful no matter what God do for you. So what you need to do, partner, stop, reassess yourself. The fact that you were not grateful in the first place, could that be the reason where, you know, man, maybe, I'm not calling it because I ain't God. I do not know how he think, nor do I claim to know. But let's just imagine for a moment. Let's just say maybe for a moment, maybe God said, okay, you ain't happy with this? Okay, then handle it your way. You obviously ain't happy with the way I'm bringing it into your life. You want to handle it your way, go ahead and handle it. Because he will let you have it your way. Can I tell you that? He will let you do it exactly the way you want to it because he gives us all the power of choice. So then maybe he said, okay, you don't appreciate the way I'm doing it. You don't like the favor I'm showing you. You think it's taking too long. I'm going to let you do it your way. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm just going to let you do it your way. Just say maybe he said that. And now he right back where he was. So what I tried to get the young cat to understand was, man, appreciate your life for what it is. Because like Life Jennings got that song that he got out off this album, I Still Believe, it could have been worse. And now that it is worse, what's on your mind now? Folks, if you are on that side of life where you have figured out what you want to do, you know how you're going to get there, and you know your purpose, you're accomplishing what the majority of people never, ever do. So be grateful for your process. Don't tumble yourself. Don't throw yourself off the cliff. It's going to be all right. Success takes a measure of time. It is not easy. If success were easy, everybody would be successful. All right, y'all. I'm sorry this morning if I sounded a little all over the place and a little jumbled, but that's how it came to me. So, you know, y'all keep your head up.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gather yourselves. Put your arms around yourself and hold you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let nobody interrupt what we about to do.
Come on here now.
We come together today.
That's right. That's right.
On the day after.
The day after.
Elections.
Mm.
Nationwide.
That's right. Coast to coast.
Domicile.
Mm.
Formaldehyde.
Wait a minute.
Throw it in there.
Where
can I hide?
Yeah.
Well, you can hide in the house.
We want to thank the Almighty.
That's right.
For results not all favorable, mm-hmm. but we made it to the end.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's where the party begins. Let them say amen.
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 Amen,
amen.
Amen again, amen. Sister Shirley.
Good morning, Pastor.
Sister Carla.
Morning, Pastor. How are you?
He ain't made it in yet. We checking on him now. See if anything has happened.
My Lord, my Lord.
Lord, Lord.
As long as it ain't got cold out there, he'll be all right.
Yeah.
A little nippy.
No. Most bitter man in all of radio, television,
bitter.
Writing
Deacon
rooms,
bitter.
Churches, school playgrounds. Bitter man.
Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing gonna change.
And mad. The mastery of foolery. Nephew Tommy.
Come on here now. I'm sorry. Yeah, what's up, huh?
Yeah, that's it. I'm through with that, too.
Top of the month.
Okay, y'all fell off.
Yeah, real
that
bad.
That was quick, Pastor.
Been up all night watching the results.
Woo! What's that?
It's drawn out, man. It drains you.
Yeah, it does.
You got to turn the channel and then come back.
Oh,
you know
I do that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we crawled in here, didn't we?
Yeah,
I've been up all night watching. All the results are not what we had hoped, I would imagine, but it's done.
Mm-hmm.
There were some positives, I thought, and there were some negatives, I thought. We'll be talking about that today.
Yes, we will, Steve.
They still haven't fully decided on the governor on the governor's race.
In Georgia.
Yeah,
in
Stacey Georgia. Adams is behind with 99% of the vote. Stacey Abrams is behind with 99% of the vote in. So they're still holding out on that. Mm-hmm.
These races were close, though.
They're very close. Yeah. And there were some issues in Georgia, some power outages and some polling locations and things like that.
Yep.
So that's why she's not conceding yet. There are some issues. So it could be a runoff. In Georgia.
But I don't like how they're saying she's refusing to concede.
Women don't concede easily. They just
shut up, Jay. He just hasn't conceded yet. Okay?
They don't concede easily.
Yeah. That ain't what they do.
All right, coming up at 32. Coming up at 32 after the hour, we're going to talk about yesterday's midterm election in detail right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, we talked about it. The midterm elections last night for the Democrats. The good news was taking back control of the House.
Yes, the House,
yes,
baby.
Yes, 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 yes. We picked up seats in New York, Oklahoma, New Jersey, Colorado, Florida, Minnesota, Texas, and others. President Trump called the House Majority Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi just before midnight to congratulate her. It was also a big night for women, ladies.
Oh,
yes. Yes. Who rules the world? Girls, right?
Girls.
With at least 90 winning House elections.
I'm not that surprised about that.
About the women winning?
That's good news,
you know,
right,
y'all,
Steve?
All, you know, my mama was in charge of me from the time I got here. I'm used to that.
That's a good thing, Steve. It's a good thing. It was a big night for women, as I said. The Dems also won races for governor in Illinois, Kansas, New Mexico, and Michigan. However, in the races we were closely watching, Florida, Republican Congressman Ron DeSantis won that battle for governor. It was a tight one over our candidate, Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum. Take a listen to some of Gillum's concession speech. Here we go.
We recognize that, you know, we didn't win it tonight. We didn't win this transaction. But I want y'all to know that is just it, a transaction. That what we believe in still holds true today. I got to tell you, as I stand here on the highest of seven hills in Tallahassee, Florida, the campus that gave so much to me and to my wife, RJ, many a days for those students who were around when we were here as students, we marched plenty of times from this very set up to the Capitol. We let our voices be heard. We didn't shrink from the challenges. We didn't shrink from power. We spoke truth to power. And just because we didn't always come out victorious, we didn't retreat. We stood up. We stood strong. We spoke out because we recognized that we had power too.
Wow. I don't think we've heard the last of him, huh, Steve?
No, it ain't over. He's just getting started.
Yes.
No, he got some other things on his mind.
Yes.
He got next. Come on.
But, you know, like you say, a couple of our candidates.
Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, didn't come through. Now, she's still not conceded.
She's not conceded, that's right, in the gubernatorial race in Georgia to Republican candidate Brian Kemp. The high stakes contest, it was just too close to call. Take a listen to what she has to say.
Votes remain to be counted. There are voices that were waiting to be heard. Across our state, folks are opening up the dreams of voters in absentee ballots, and we believe our chance for a stronger Georgia is just within reach.
I'm not conceding to nothing. I might be conceding. I'm not conceding to nothing.
She just wants to wait till all the votes are in, absentee ballots.
Right.
Yeah, all of that.
Sound like my mom.
Officials say.
Like every black woman, you're right.
Which is a good thing.
Very good thing.
Yeah, officials say after several voters ran.
It might be a good thing, but it's a little scary for me. Flashback to my mom. Did you hear me?
That's right. Officials say after several voters ran into issues including power outages, broken machines, long lines, voting locations, and a few Atlanta neighborhoods reopened for a number of hours, so that was good. The close race between Democrat Stacey Abrams and her Republican opponent, Brian Kemp, could bleed into a Democratic runoff if neither major party candidate wins 50% of the vote.
So I don't understand that rule.
Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, some of them you have to get more than, I don't understand. Well, what determines a runoff?
Well,
all the votes have been counted, and like Stacey Abrams just said, that's why she's not conceding,
right?
Because of there were some issues at polling places, so they want all the votes to be counted to say who actually has that percentage to declare the
50. Wrong question.
If the winner doesn't have 50%, there will be a runoff. If they don't have 50% of the vote, they
exactly.
won't have a runoff.
If one has 51 and the other has 49,
you have to have
50%. If you have 50%, then you get a runoff. You know.
Oh, okay. So like both of you would have to have a 50 for this to be a runoff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And so she's still waiting on them to count her votes.
Right.
She could have 50%.
Mm-hmm. Well, all the votes haven't come in.
That's the thing about it that I don't understand. It's like, it takes so long in Georgia to count, and they were done in Texas like real quick. It's just like some states are like,
oh,
that.
You find that hard to believe?
Yeah.
Well, like we said, Jay, there were power outages, mm-hmm. there were broken machines, long lines.
And who over the machine? The person she running again?
The person she yes. running again.
The person she running again. That's who over the machine, right? Okay. Well, don't nobody see this?
Well, going
yeah,
into
everybody
the,
see it.
Yeah, we going see into the race, they were talking about, yeah, it. Voter suppression. Yeah, but, yeah.
Some machines didn't even have power cords. We see what's happening.
Yeah.
Right?
And, Jay, you mentioned Texas. Senator Ted Cruz was able to hold on to his seat and defeat upstart challenger Beto O'Rourke, despite the fact that he was able to stage one of the best finance runs in history. And Beto thanked his supporters, and he dropped the F-bomb. Take a listen
Did
to this,
yeah,
Steve Harvey.
Come on, yeah.
Showing the country how you do this. I'm so f***ing proud of you guys.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Come on, Beto. That's real. That's real right there.
That's how you concede.
Yes. I know you like that, Steve.
Yeah, come on, man.
Play that again.
You want to hear it one more time? Yeah, I knew you would.
Showing the country how you do this. I'm so f***ing proud of you guys.
Yeah, come on, white boy.
You should have seen the panel, Steve, when they cut back. Okay.
It's too late.
You know, man, but they act like, oh, my God, he said that. Man, I be going, y'all got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
That's all he said. Oh, my God.
In New York, Democrats racked up their first sweep of the state Senate in 10 years.
Mm. Go ahead, yeah. New York.
Yeah, that's according to the New York Daily News. So congratulations to all the winners, yeah. All right, we're coming back. Nephew Tommy's here with Run That Prank Back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, spank. Me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Limited. Hey.
All right, Steve. Listen, coming up at the top of the hour in entertainment news, the sexiest man alive, the one and only Idris Elba. No, it is not you. Don't even look over here. Yes.
Yeah, he got it.
Excuse you. Excuse you.
He got it.
Yeah.
Come on, boy.
Right now, it's time for.
Was I second?
No.
Yeah, your number ain't even have a two in it.
What'd you say, Steve?
I said his number ain't even have a two in it.
Oh, hey.
Was he second?
I'm at least 22 now.
Boy,
I'm in there.
Boy,
somewhere.
You wasn't 120 seconds.
All right, come on, Sexy Tommy, with Run That Prank Back. What you got?
Who'd you vote for?
Oh.
That's it right there.
Okay.
Okay, it's a good day for that. Who'd you vote for? Ready.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach an Ernest Newell.
This is him. Who is this?
Mr. Ernest Riley, I'm with Fisher American Survey, and what we're doing is we're calling around to different households about the whole presidential race, but right now we're focusing on calling, we're focusing on calling black people.
Black people?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just something that we're doing, and we want to try and figure out exactly who you people are voting for, because that's important right now.
I don't think it's none of your damn business who I'm voting for.
Well, we want to know exactly which way the votes are going to be going here in the whole running of the presidential race. So we're just trying to figure out who you're voting for.
First of all, it really is none of your concern about who I'm voting for, but whoever I vote for, we getting y'all people out of there, I tell you that much. Because I'm tired of this bull. You can put that on your damn survey. So, black folk, we tired of this bullshit. Tired of eating sardines and the honor sergeant. We finna change this around.
Sir,
and if y'all must know, I'm voting for Obama. Well, that's right.
Are you voting for him just because he's black, though? Is that what you're doing?
You're damn right.
That doesn't mean you sat back to see if he qualifies, sir. That's why we're calling y'all, because we think you're going about this whole thing wrong.
Well, I tell you what, even if we are going about it wrong, that's how we gonna do it. You know what I'm saying? Y'all done had Bush and Hillary had this time to names up. So, get what? We finna change this around. You know what I'm saying? Y'all been there too long, we gonna paint the White House black.
Now, one thing you're not gonna do is paint the White House black. It's been white from day one, and you're not gonna change that. Matter of fact, I wanna tell you this. Don't y'all show up at none of them polls, or it's gonna be some problems if you show up trying to vote.
Hey, man, how you going to tell them about who to show up, man? You got some nerve to be telling somebody who to show up and when to show up. Anyway, you ain't got no business calling me on my phone anyway. How you get my number anyway?
I don't,
you know what I'm saying?
What?
They wrong y'all damn white folks now. Y'all think y'all running but get what? That ain't finna happen to baby. So y'all might as well just get ready for it. All that y'all been doing, that can get cut out. And all that calling on the phone, trying to scare them, I like that bull. Yeah, because I'm just ready to get dead off of somebody. I wish somebody would be at the poll telling me who to vote for, who I can't vote for. We're going to show y'all my.
We're going to have people at them polls, and we're going to stop y'all from voting if you don't tell us ahead of time what you're doing and who you're voting for and why you're voting for them.
Man, you got some nerve with it. I mean, how do you get my number, man? I'm serious, man. I'm at work. I'm trying to work, and I'm going to be arguing with you on the phone with some bull.
This is a survey. We are randomly calling black people, and we have the right to do that.
Okay, I understand it's a survey, but you need to watch how you talk to people, man. You can't just be calling people with that bull. Like that, you don't come calling somebody on the phone and talking to them like you ain't got no sense. You need to talk to me like you got some sense.
That's exactly what it's gonna be if you show up at them polls trying to vote.
Well, I tell you what, man, I'm gonna make sure I show up and I'm gonna vote for everybody or anybody I want to vote for. Anybody on the ballot that's black, that's who I'm voting for.
Let me tell you something. You're lucky we gave you the right to vote.
Now, lucky you gave me the right. You ain't give me shit. My people earn the right to vote. Don't you got something else better to do? You need to go call somebody who worth calling. Because y'all going to stop with black folks. We ain't going to hear that. We don't want to hear.
You go ahead and you send word to the rest of them people of yours that we better not catch them.
Oh, people of mine? Man, who the are you, man? They're wrong the world today. Too many are like you. This is United States of America. I can vote and do whatever the I want to do.
You know what I'm saying?
I can do whatever the I want to do.
You listen to me. You're going to go in that poll thing and you're going to vote for me.
I vote for whoever the I want to vote for, cuz. You need to stop calling my phone and don't call my number again. And you can tell them other to kiss my black. I tell you that much. You. Man, why in the you still calling me? Didn't I tell you don't call my phone, man?
I'm doing a survey. And
man, I don't give a I told you, man, stop calling my phone, man. I'm voting. We all voting. Matter of fact, we having a barbecue. Signing everybody up to vote. We voting. All of us voting. You know what I'm saying?
I want you. We're doing a survey, and you're going to answer these questions I got for you.
I asked you to stop calling my phone,
and
man.
I asked you not to show up at them polls and vote, too.
I'm voting for my brother. His ass in jail. I'm voting for that, too. Like I told you, everybody that I know that don't even know how to spell vote. We gonna vote.
He might be smart and all, but that young fella can't run this country like we can. We know what it takes to run this country. I know we've gone through some a few glitches here and there, but it ain't been that bad.
Y'all don't them load up, and you know they don't play that. They got technology loaded. All they got to do is just wink. They now they can. But y'all ain't with them. Yeah.
We're not afraid of anybody, and you better be afraid to come to them polls. You hear me?
Man, I ain't worried about your and nobody else that you with.
You listen to me. I got one more thing that I need to say to you. Are you listening to me?
Man, you. I don't listen to you. I don't listen to your enough.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your boy Johnson.
Who, man?
Johnson. He put me up to it, big dog.
God, man. Man, you got to be kidding. Now, I hope y'all don't add this, man. Man, I'm about to pull this truck on. Bobby Duran or somebody.
You all right, Ernest?
Man, that's cold, man. Don't tell him I done got gay. Lord have mercy.
Hey, look, one thing I do know, I know you voting. I know that.
You right. Hey, saying you right, I'm voting. I don't give a damn who called me up. I'm still voting.
Okay. I got to ask you one more thing, dog. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show. Off the chain.
Keep it stupid, baby.
Too much, nephew.
A few up in here. It's going down this weekend. I am in Tunica, Mississippi, Friday and Saturday at the Fitz Tunica Casino and Hotel. And guess what?
Sold out. The nephew sold out.
Good for you, nephew.
November 15th through the 17th, the Funny Bone, baby. All shows sold out. The nephew added a Saturday show. It's at 4:30 on Saturday.
You just said that today.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's almost gone. So,
I was waiting on that, though.
Yeah, I know you would. You always waiting
we
on
it. We can't hear you, Steve.
Don't worry about
nah,
him.
I was trying not to say nothing too loud. Because you know how he is, say it too loud. Really?
On air mentoring.
Really?
November 23rd, I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan at Devo's Performance Hall. Tickets on sale right now. Grand Rapids. Never been there before. You ain't seen me and I ain't seen you. Let's get together and see each other on the 23rd. That's Black Friday. That's a good Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The nephew, the sexiest man, right behind Idris.
That would be Idris.
Right behind Idris, you'll
Ooh,
see
you're
me
not
standing
right behind
there.
Him.
When you're behind Idris, you're saying, hold the dough.
All right, listen,
Tommy.
Listen, up next in entertainment news, Idris Elba is the sexiest man alive. And Carla, why don't we rank the sexiest men on the morning show? How about that? Right after
Love
this.
It. Let's vote.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, guys, 20 minutes after the hour, we're going to the phones. We're going to talk to the people today.
What the people say.
Yeah, so call us at 877-29-STEVE. That's 877-29-STEVE. We want to talk about what else? The midterm elections. The Democrats took control of the House. Republicans kept the Senate. Big night for women. More women are headed to Congress than ever before. We love the sound of that. Yeah, girl power. The president tweeted, tremendous success tonight. He offered in the early stages of the results. Thank you to all. Down in Florida, Andrew Gillum lost in the gubernatorial race. Ted Cruz was reelected.
Man.
And Stacey Adams has not conceded in Georgia. Abrams. Stacey Abrams. Why do I keep calling her Adams like the shoe?
Because of the shoe.
Stacey Abrams, okay?
Stacey Adams, Jay?
Stacey Adams is a shoe.
I apologize. We love her. She's been on our show and everything. Stacey Abrams has not conceded. They're saying she's refusing to concede. We're just saying she hasn't conceded yet. There could be a runoff in December for Georgia's governor's race.
All right.
Yeah, so, yeah. Hang in there to the last minute, Stacey Abrams. Yeah. Don't give up the fight. In entertainment news, we say congratulations to Idris Elba. Idris.
Congratulations, Idris. You beat me again. You beat me again.
I don't think you were in the running, but we'll find out in the show who's the sexiest man alive. Anyway, Idris is People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive for 2018, People's 33rd Sexiest Man Alive. What took them so long?
About time.
Yeah.
Tommy, what place you think you came in?
I thought I was second, but y'all saying I'm not nowhere near that. I'm going to call Idris and find out because he got to know where I was.
Why?
It's hard to look back at.
He know I'm on his heels. He know that.
All right, we have.
You on everybody's heels.
Hey.
Wow.
Wow. All right, look, we have four great guys on the show. Let's do our own poll, Carla.
Okay.
Sexiest man. Okay. Let's go from the bottom to the top. Yeah.
Okay.
Four.
Number four, Jay, Anthony Brown.
Okay, because he's the newest member. I can see that. Yeah, he's.
And he's bitter.
Yeah,
he's bitter.
He hasn't had.
You can't be sexy and bitter.
Not a good look.
Bitterness
not
is not
look.
Sexy.
Can't make that face.
That's jacked up.
Okay.
Come on,
okay.
Girl.
Yeah. Number three. I'm going to go with Junior only because, no, I can't even say that. I was going to say because.
He's sick.
He's.
Wow.
He's ill.
You can't, be sexy and sick.
No, you could be sick sexy.
That's what you're saying.
But you can be fine and sick because I've
seen
her.
We got 30 seconds.
Number
two.
Number two.
I mean, we don't have anyone left but Tommy.
Well, no, you have Steve.
I'm talking about for the number two position. So we only have Tommy for number two. So Steve, of course it's Steve.
He first.
Steve is the sexiest man alive on this show.
Yeah.
Okay, take his wallet away. Now where we at?
Sexiest man alive.
Take his wallet away.
Woo. All right, it's time.
What?
Never mind, Steve. It's time for today's headlines. Please introduce her.
Ladies and gentlemen, Please, your hands for Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you. Okay, good morning. And this is the day after the day. Of course, the midterm elections is what I'm talking about. The 2018 midterm elections are over. There are almost 30 competitive House races at stake, 5 big Senate races, 7 gubernatorial races. Right off, no surprise, early in the evening, independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders was easily reelected, as was former Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine, who retained his Virginia U.S. Senate seat. There was something for everyone, basically. When the results were over, and they're still not over, but, you know, at the end of the night, I'll put it that way, Republicans will remain in control of the U.S. Senate for at least the next 2 years, and President Trump can thump his chest for this one. Democrats lost seats to GOP candidates in those states where Trump aggressively rallied his base. Democratic senators were defeated in Missouri, in Indiana, North Dakota. The seats were kept red also in Texas and Tennessee, and that was despite some really strong challenges from Democrats. I mean, Democrats did come out in force. Basically, this year's election map left Democrats trying to defend 26 seats, 10 of them in states where Trump won in 2016. So again, they lost them, then they didn't lose all 10, obviously. But, you know, they will not be the majority in the Senate, but they weren't before. So GOP now holds a comfortable 52-48 lead in the Senate, but they still were winning anyway because with Vice President Pence's vote, they still could do what they want. They had the majority. So that really has not changed for them. There was one seat the Republicans thought they could snatch, but they didn't. That's because New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez was reelected to a third term, and he came out swinging last night at Donald Trump.
I won't back down when President Trump and Republicans come after Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security over my dead body. And most importantly, I will never be silent when President Trump betrays all that actually makes America great.
In other news, Ayanna Pressley became the first African-American woman to be elected to the House of Representatives from the state of Massachusetts. Their race is still too close to call, like GOP incumbent Congressman Chris Collins of New York, his Democratic challenger Nick McMurray. That's still too close to call. At one point, it looked like McMurray was pulling ahead, then it looked like Collins was definitely had it, but then that's changed. Senate races in Florida and Montana also undecided this morning in Georgia. As you heard, Democrat Stacey Abrams is not conceding her bid to become the nation's first black female governor. Her opponent, Republican Brian Kemp, is actually in charge of refereeing the vote since he's currently Secretary of State. He's already being sued for discounting thousands of votes before the election, most of them in non-white voting areas. Meanwhile, in Florida, Democrat Andrew Gillum fought the good and classy fight, but narrowly lost his bid to become governor, and that's a campaign Donald Trump also focused a lot of his rallies on. And get back in 20 minutes after the hour and stay with us for the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it is the day after the midterm elections.
Hold on, Shirley Jr. Yes, sir. You know what I love about your commercials?
What's that up?
You always sound like you talking while you holding your breath.
What does that mean?
I'll point it out to you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Shirley.
Right now? In the middle of this? Okay.
I love the white meat part of that commercial. That was great, Junior.
You really, really.
Turn Junior's mic on and Jay's off at this point. Okay.
My mic wasn't up. Okay.
All right, the midterm elections. That's what we're all here to talk about. It's the day after. For the Democrats, the good news was that they took back the control of the House by picking up seats in New York and New Jersey, Oklahoma, Colorado, Florida, Minnesota, Texas, and others. And then it was also a big night for women with at least 90 winning House elections. Yeah, so that's good news. The Dems also won races for governor in Illinois, in Kansas, New Mexico, and Michigan. However, in Florida, a bit of an upset there. Republican Congressman Ron DeSantis won the battle for governor over our candidate, Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum. Take a listen to some of Gillum's concession speech. Gillum.
We recognize that, you know, we didn't win it tonight. We didn't win this transaction. But I want y'all to know that is just it, a transaction. That what we believe in still holds true today. I got to tell you, as I stand here on the highest of seven hills in Tallahassee, Florida, the campus that gave so much to me and to my wife, RJ. Many a days for those students who were around when we were here as students, we marched plenty of times from this very set up to the Capitol. We let our voices be heard. We didn't shrink from the challenges. We didn't shrink from power. We spoke truth to power. And just because we didn't always come out victorious, we didn't retreat. We stood up. We stood strong. We spoke out because we recognized that we had power too.
Well, I mean, you know, he fought the good fight. That's all you can say.
He'll be back.
He still will be on the front lines.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, we haven't heard the last seven.
I like that part.
Okay, we all know that in Texas, Ted Cruz, Ted Cruz won. He beat Beto O'Rourke. Do we have time to play Beto O'Rourke, his concession speech quickly?
Showing the country how you do this. I'm so f***ing proud of you guys.
That's why I voted for him. That's why I voted for him.
Proud of you guys.
Coming up, we'll have more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. Wow. Day after the midterm elections. We are all here. We survived it. some states are still counting. Some areas are still counting. We'll get the final results, I'm sure, later today. Some people may have a runoff come up in December. A lot of things. Yeah.
And Mississippi.
And Mississippi, yeah. A lot of.
Yeah, they definitely said Mississippi's going
to. We ain't concede nothing in Georgia until we count the rest of these votes. I'm not conceding nothing to nobody, and I mean that. I mean exactly that. Get all them papers in here so we can get to counting this up. I'm about to concede nothing. I'm not calling him. Tell him I'm not calling him. Not at all. Not today. It's going to be next week before we get all this paperwork together.
Yeah, he not going to get a call from me if he wins. Phone calls is over. When he said I ain't had no education, that we ended these phone calls.
But they're saying that Stacey Abrams out of Georgia is saying is refusing to concede. She just hasn't conceded. She wants all the votes to be counted before she concedes.
Right.
She
didn't
so we're worried about a concession speech. Didn't somebody refuse to show us their tax form?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So
he may have to now, though.
Still ain't showed it to her.
Well, you know, I don't even know if it's important anymore because the people that's going to vote for him, they don't care what his tax. Matter of fact, they trying desperately to get their tax forms to look like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, man.
How do you feel about the election yesterday in the voter turnout?
Well, you know, I can't say that the candidates that we really pushed for, Abrams and Gillum, that we didn't turn out to vote. I can't say that. Right. I thought there was some great energy around both campaigns. Mm-hmm. So I can't say we didn't vote. I think it's the biggest midterm election turnout since I can remember for, especially that gathered this type of momentum behind it. Mm-hmm. But with that said, what becomes really disturbing for me is exactly how many people vote for the other side. And that's frightening, man. Because, I mean, if you're really approving what this man says, you're sending a clear message to a lot of people that this is what you okay with, this type of rhetoric. And it doesn't matter the results. The rhetoric that comes with these results right here, you're perfectly fine with it. But what you're not considering is you haven't seen the full ramifications of the rhetoric. See?
Because he campaigned for these people.
Now, you let this man keep talking and get us in a war. You know who kids got to go over there and die?
Yours.
Ours.
See.
Not his.
Yeah. See, you Mr. Poe Black, Mr. Poe White, Mr. Poe Latino. That y'all you're on the front line. See, and so that's the danger, man. That so many people voted the other way. It's like that time I was on the plane years ago and the guy says, we got to talk, he's a really cool dude. But our conversation turned to politics, and I wish it hadn't, because we were having a good conversation on the plane. And he leaned over to me, and he said, I won one of the elections. He said, so, you seem like a really great guy. You mean to tell me that you're voting for a guy simply because he's black? And I said, yeah, exactly why I'm pulling the trigger on him. He said, just because he's black, you vote for a person? I said, yeah. He said, well, can I be honest with you? I have a problem with that. I said, well, I got a problem if that's the same reason you ain't going to vote for him.
It's a two-way street.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I mean, since we're having an honest conversation.
Right.
And that's how I feel about this election here. I just feel like so many people vote against values. Yes. They don't care about them people coming, about them kids that got separated. That they really trying to take your pre-existing care. They're trying to close dialysis clinics out here in California.
Yeah, so that was one of the propositions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's tough, man.
It is.
But we got to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are the people? Are they up yet? Anyway, we're coming back with the nephew. His prank phone call coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. Subject, my boss controls me.
I was your man.
Too.
But right now, it is the nephew here with today's prank phone call. What you got for us, nephew?
Hurley, this one right here. This one right here go to my daddy. This is classic. Can I have your kidney?
Oh.
Can I have your kidney? Run that.
Hello.
Hello. I'm trying to reach Brother Conley.
This is Conley.
How you doing, brother? This is Deacon Patterson calling from the church. How you doing today?
Deacon Patterson?
Yeah.
Just doing fine. And yourself, sir?
I'm doing good. Doing good. You know, the church is behind you on what you're going through, and we praying for you, man. We know all about you going into surgery on Friday to get your pancreas removed. So I wanted to give you a call, man, have a word of prayer, and let you know that we all are pulling for you, and we know that the man upstairs is going to pull you through this success.
Well, God bless and keep you there, Deacon. God bless and keep you, because I tell you, I'm going through something here. Me and my wife, we've been talking about it, and we've been praying on it, and it sure is a wonderful thing to know that your church is with you, and y'all thinking about me in prayer. I've really had to take this to the Lord. This is a serious thing with me, and I ain't never had an operation before in my life, and
I know
I need it. My wife done made it clear, the doctor done made it clear, and I believe I'm ready to go forward, Deacon. Was that Deacon Patterson?
Yes, that's right, Deacon Patterson. I've been in church probably about 8 months now. You pretty much been out most of the time.
Yes, sir. I have been out of here. Yes,
yeah.
I have.
So I've seen you a couple of times, but I wanted to call and put a word in for you and let you know that we're all praying for you at the church.
Praise the Lord.
Can't
Praise
wait for you to
Lord.
Get back, and we know after Friday it's going to definitely be a great success.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to give the victory to who the victory is much deserves.
The Lord. Yes, sir. He's the victory.
Let me have a word of prayer with you, Brother Conley, if you don't mind. Just bow your head for me. Father God, we ask right now. We ask right now that you touch Brother Conley as he goes in on Friday.
Please, Lord.
Put your hands on him. We ask, Father, that you hold on to the doctor that's getting ready to go and put surgery on him.
Yes.
We ask that you make sure that the doctor has got a strong eye on that morning.
Walk with him.
We ask that he got a steady hand when he got the scalpel in his hand. We ask that you hold on to him,
please,
as he goes into his surgery, because we know come Saturday morning, the victory going to belong to Brother Conley and the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We know all of this, but we ask that you take that pancreas and you remove it out successfully.
Please.
Close him back up like it was never been entered in before.
Walk with me, Jesus.
That's what we ask, and we ask you, Lord, at the same time,
yes,
that they're removing this pancreas, Lord. We ask that you reach around his backside, and we ask that you touch his kidney, Lord. Touch his kidney and make it whole. Make it 110%. We want you to make that kidney like it's been the best kidney
Excuse
ever,
me,
Lord.
Deacon. Deacon. That's Deacon. Deacon. Whoop. Pat Deacon Patterson.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, sir. Ain't they, no, sir. There's nothing wrong with my kidney, Deacon. I'm doing fine. The Lord has made it. Well, he's gonna work on my pancreas. That's what the doctor's operating on. They done prepped me for it, and that's what they plan to remove. So my kidney is fine. They did what they called one of them MRIs, and everything else is fine. They ain't working on nothing but my pancreas, sir.
Right, right, right. Well, let me say, I'm glad you brought that up, because this wasn't really why I called you. What I want to ask you, and I know we've never met, what I was going to ask you was,
and
I know this is, I hate to come at you in the final hour when you're getting ready to go have surgery and all that, but if you don't mind, when they go in on Friday morning and remove that pancreas out, do you think that they could go in and get one of your kidneys? Because I need one.
Hold on just a minute, Deacon. What'd you say? What'd you say?
See, I've been going through myself with a little ailment, and I'm wondering if I need a kidney, and I'm wondering if you can give me one of yours when they go in to get your pancreas. They already have you open.
Did you say you wanted them to take one of my kidneys?
Yeah, and give it to me because I need one.
You need a kidney?
Yeah. But what you already going to be laying there open.
Wait a minute, mister. You need a kidney? I need help with my pancreas. You going to call me with some like that, man? This ain't no work of the Lord. Now, you say you a deacon?
Like I said, Deacon Patterson, my name. But see, what I'm asking you is, Brother Conley, what harm is it if you already open and laying on the table?
Oh, you ain't heard a thing I said, have you? I said, I'll be man, you crazy as hell. Now, what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to need to call the pastor. Because, see, it's some going on here. You say you knew? You might have knew, mister. Matter of fact, you too knew to know who you're talking to.
What I'm saying is, you have two, like you say they did the MRI.
I don't give a what I said they did, man. I got two kidneys, you got two. One of yours bad, that's your problem, mister. Let me tell you something. I'm trying to get well, and you calling with this. You say you a new deacon. You your ears, and you won't be at that church long. I tell you that because if I ever get close to your sister, we got some reckoning to do.
What is it going to hurt for you to give me one of them kidneys if both them kidneys is good?
It ain't going to hurt them thing because you ain't getting my kidney, man. It ain't going to hurt. What is wrong with you?
Say, man, all I'm saying is if you're going to be open and laying on the table, what is it going to hurt for you to give me one?
Oh, now you're going to tell me I'm open and laying on the table. What kind of a prayer are you in charge of, mister? Let me tell you something. Obviously, I need to meet you before I get to the hospital. And maybe I can help take out that bad kidney of yours. I can tell you that. We can it out. You won't feel a thing. How about that? There's too many games going on in the church today. I'll be you going to call and talk me out of one of my kidneys, man.
I'm trying to live just like you trying to.
Let the Lord take care of me, because what you talking about ain't got a thing to do with Jesus. You can kiss my and get off my phone. That's what you can do.
Can I say one more thing to you?
What?
Is you listening to me?
Man, I done listened to you, and you ain't talking about nothing. That's got nothing to do with what's going on with me, mister. You running a game? If I could get to you, I'd put lead in your mouth.
Can I just say one more thing, and then I'm going to let you go? Is you listening?
For what?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your daughter.
Oh, Lord have mercy. That girl, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Jesus.
You all right?
Please forgive me. Lord have mercy. Woo! Y'all, I'm gonna have to. Lord have mercy. My heart is palpating here. Lord have mercy, Jesus.
Brother Conley, I gotta ask you one more thing, man. What is the baddest? I'm talking about the baddest radio show in the land.
The Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Play too much.
Okay, keep on.
Boy, that was my daddy's favorite one right there.
Oh,
man.
He loved that one.
Oh, man, made me put it on a CD and play it, and it go over and over and over.
Boy, that's stupid.
You're crazy. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, nephew. Coming up next, it is the Strawberry Letter. Subject, my boss controls me, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at 41 after the hour, it will be our girl from the talk, the one and only Cheryl Underwood. She's going to be here.
Ooh, baby.
We'll love to hear her take on the midterms. Yes, Steve, but right now it is time for my strawberry letter for today. If you need advice on relationships, on dating, on work, on sex, on parenting, and more, please submit your strawberry letter to Steve Harvey FM and click submit Strawberry letter. Tell them, Steve Harvey, please.
Shirley, I want you to quit including me in this.
Why?
Just let me do my answer to the letter. Don't ask me. If you don't want me and Shirley to say nothing to you, then don't send us your letter.
We could be reading your letter live just like we're going to read this one, right?
Hey, let sexy number two jump in here right behind Idris Elba. Hey, buckle up and hold on tight. We got it for you.
I can't tell you how far behind Idris Elba
you got that twisted.
Buckle up and hold on tight. We got it for you. Strawberry letter.
Subject, my boss controls me. Dear Stephen Shirley, I have a dilemma, and I need your advice. I'm in my late 20s, and I work for a nonprofit organization, and my boss is a fine older gentleman. From the beginning, I could tell he was attracted to me, and I would catch him looking at me. One Saturday, about 3 months ago, he called and invited me over to watch a pregame season show with him and his friends. I already
I know.
Watch a preseason game.
Jesus.
You know I'm dyslexic sometimes.
Pregame season show? Is that what you
said? What is that?
I said pregame season. Preseason game.
I couldn't even let it go. I said, shit. It's too much bad information.
Anything about sports. Here we go.
People going, what is that?
Preseason
game. Watching a season
game.
For the pregame.
The sure. best voice on the show is losing it.
I am. With the preseason game, okay, preseason game, he wanted her to watch that with him and some friends. She already had plans, so she told him she would come by later. And when she got to his house, he was the only one there. After watching a few quarters of the game, he pulled me closer to him on the couch and got all touchy-feely. So, yes, we end up having sex. Afterwards, I went home, and he called me later that night and said he'd pick me up for work so we could talk. It's been 3 months, and I have spent every night with him at his house. My boss is 16 years older than me, but we work well together, and he has helped me with my finances and taught me how to run a small business. Mm. He has told me that he is not in a relationship, but admitted that he has a few female friends that he entertains. I cook for him daily, I clean up his house, and I run small errands for him. There have been a few nights that he has left the house after dinner and didn't come back until the next morning. I am in no position to say anything, so I let him have his cake and eat it too. At first, it didn't bother me, but now it's starting to. When I asked him what's going on, he said that he has helped me get my life together and I have no room to complain, so he can do whatever he wants to do. I'm not sure why he keeps me around. I do need my job, so I don't want to keep pressuring him with questions. How should I handle this situation? Well, I say this. You're in no position not to say anything at this point. This is your life. You have to take control of your own life and not let this old man do it that you're dating. You're in your 20s, okay? And you work for this man, but it doesn't mean that you have to give away your self-respect here. You're not defeated. Look at what this fine older gentleman, as you call him, taught you. He empowered you, actually, when you think about it. Now you can better handle your finances as a result of being with him. And now you know how to run a business. That's empowering. So don't let him hold you hostage in this particular job you're in now. Or don't let him hold you hostage in this relationship. This is so disrespectful. By the way, I got to ask you, are you his maid or are you his girlfriend? You're over there cooking, cleaning, running errands, sexing him. And as you say, letting him have his cake and eat it too. I think you're doing too much. And it's just time you start looking for your own job. Time you start building your business that he taught you to do, okay? Put yourself first. Break up with this man who tells you, I mean, really, the nerve after spending the night out all night that he can do whatever he wants to do. Well, guess what? So can you. You can do whatever you want to do, too. You just got to leave him, and you just got to do it. Steve.
Take your time with this one, player.
Cause she and Steve.
Yeah, yeah. She in that mode.
Steve.
Yeah.
And it was a pregame show, by the way.
Yeah. Now, this girl is in her late 20s. She worked for a nonprofit organization, and her boss is a fine older gentleman. Mm. You know, and he'd been looking at her so she could tell he was attracted. One Saturday, asked him to come over and watch a game with some friends. You had some plans. You told him you'd come by later. When you got to the house, you was the only one there. Well, wasn't nobody ever over there at the house.
Right.
nobody goes over somebody's house to watch a preseason game.
Showed
up. In one quarter, though, dog.
Nobody go to nobody's house to watch preseason football.
Really? I didn't know that.
No. No, because we don't even know who the hell played. Yeah. And it don't count. That's not the time to spend money on tailgating.
Get the wings, dog. Preseason coming up.
So you get over there and y'all watching it, and then time went by, he started pulling you closer to him on the couch. And he got all touchy-feely. And then right after y'all got touchy-feely, we ended up having sex. Oh, where them days at?
Yes, Lord.
What did you just say?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I followed it.
Are we live?
Yes, we are.
We're always live.
You know we are. Yeah.
So right after that, they got touchy-feely. That bam, just like that. Wow. Now they having sex. You went home, he called you. That night said he'd pick you up for work so we could talk. It's been 3 months. You done spent every night with him at his house. Mm. My boss is 16 years old. Let me do the math right. You late 20s. Let's say you 28. I'm going to say 29. He's 16. That ain't my 45.
Old to her, though, right?
16 years. Yeah, but he been in that old. Then he got them work well together, got your finances, taught you how to run a business, told me he's not in a relationship, but admitted he got a few female friends that he entertains. Now, he told you this up front. I'm not in a relationship, but I got a few. Mm. That means more than two.
Player, player.
Women that I entertain.
Hello. Mm.
That means I'm somewhere putting on a show.
Touchy feely.
That's what entertain me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he know what he doing. Because all he did was get touchy feely. That's all. But he done mastered the art of touchy feely.
Yes.
Now touchy feely done led you down the path of darkness and iniquity.
I feel a sermon coming on here.
Wow.
Iniquity. That you have come to the realization.
Come on here now.
That you want him.
Mm.
Got to have him. Right. Must be with him. Mm-hmm. So now you're at the house every day cleaning. Cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Making up beds.
Yes.
Moving furniture around.
Come on here.
Spraying pledge.
What's that for?
People still do that, Steve?
Yeah, they got pledge still here.
That's, I don't know, but that's the last time I cleaned up. We'll be right back with some more of this here.
Yeah, the subject, My Boss Controls Me, that's coming up at 23 after, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, back. What'd you say, darling?
Okay.
We're in the middle of the strawberry letter, Steve.
Come on, big dog. Hang in here, man. Let's go.
Let's recap and get part two of your response.
Little girl in her late 20s started working for this company, had this fine old dude in there running it. She could tell he liked him right away because the way she was looking at him, he invited her over the house to watch a football game preseason.
Right. That's what I said.
The game don't nobody go see. Supposed to be a bunch of friends watching games. She said she'd be over there later. She get over there, ain't nobody over there.
But him.
Hell yeah, because don't nobody go to nobody's house for no preseason football.
Anyway.
They just sitting up on the couch. He pulled her a little closer, then he get touchy-feeling. Mm. Right after a little touching and a little feeling, they went on had sex.
Yeah.
It's been months now, 3 months. She done spent every night at his house.
Yeah.
My boss is 16 years older than me, but we work well together, and he's helped me with my finances and taught me how to run a small business. She getting caught up. He has told me that he is not in a relationship, but admitted that he has a few female friends that he entertains. What does it mean to entertain a woman? That means he's somewhere putting on a show.
I love it.
I cook for him daily. I clean up his house, and I run small errands for him. Kizzy. No, is trying to make an impression.
Ho, ho.
I just called it Kizzy.
Really? That's the name you came with?
Because he didn't all this cooking, cleaning, running errands and stuff.
And running what?
Running errands.
And cooking, clean.
I know, that's what I said. She's doing the most.
And she doing a lot.
Yeah.
Now, what you want me to call her? There are other names. Hazel. Hazel is his name that I've heard. Flo. Alice. There's some famous maids on TV.
Brady Bunch.
Now, there have been a few nights that he has left the house after dinner and didn't come back until the next morning. I'm in no position to say anything. Really? Okay, well, you've removed yourself from any point of power. So you've said, I'm in no position to say anything. Well, so you want right now. So I let him have his cake and eat it too. This is an ideal relationship.
For the man.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
At first it didn't bother me, but now it's starting to. When I asked him what's going on, he said he didn't help me get my life together. I have no room to complain. You said he has several female friends that he entertains. Well, after dinner and he leave the house, he got to go entertain.
What does entertain mean, Steve?
That is a man somewhere, probably naked, putting on a show.
Probably naked.
Yeah, he got burlesque over there stripping, all kinds of stuff.
Nine times out of ten.
He over there entertaining.
Yes.
And he do what he want to do. Then when you say something to him about it, he said he didn't help you get your life together. You ain't got no room to complain. So he can do whatever he wants. Any man can do whatever he wants if he's allowed to.
Right.
It just depends on what we want to do. So now you allow it, even though you say you have no position to say anything. You don't have to sit there and take it, though. There are other jobs. Now, here she go right here. So he can do whatever he wants. I'm not sure why he keeps me around. No, because you keep hanging. You ain't went nowhere. What do he got to get rid of you for? I can sleep with you. You cook and clean in my house, running ass. And after we eat, I go somewhere and spend another night with another chick. Why would I run you off?
Ideal relationship for him.
This is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Did you get my clothes out the cleaner? I'm
not sure why he keeps me around. Why would you cut loose all this free help?
That good stuff.
I do need my job. You ain't making that much down at that damn nonprofit. Yep. I can tell you that right now.
Right.
You can make that money somewhere else, but you don't want to go. He picking you up. You over there every night. You done found a mission in life. You cleaning. Need to up your standards a little bit.
That's right, Steve.
In a relationship, let the man walk all over you, then want to know why he keep you around. Keep you around, because the question is why you still around.
Baby, when you going to cut the yard?
Sitting up in here all this shit. You know I got to get out over here. I got
to clean out the garage.
I want what I want to dinner, because I got to get, after I eat, I got to get out here and get entertained.
Perform.
All this and sitting up in here hard as I'm out here working. You down here just non-profit like all day. Are you on this show?
Yes, stop it. And he's not that fine anyway.
Steve's stupid.
I know.
Just sitting up here struggling with this letter, man.
I know.
Talking about. I don't know why he keep me around. Why would you get rid of you? The best thing ever.
Beautiful situation for him.
I just don't understand. Where is these women at for me, though?
I do need my job, so I don't want to keep pressuring him with questions. How should I handle this? First of all, you need to remove yourself from the situation because this is a no-win relationship with you. You letting a man sleep with you while he telling you he's openly sleeping with other people. And if you can justify that in your mind, then you can take about anything. So you can stay there and keep taking this crap and not feel pressured and scared to say something. Ugh. Or you can leave and go get another job. But I think you like being over at his house too much. Because this 16 years, boy, he done some things.
All right, look, we got to get out of here. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at Steve Harvey FM. Coming up in 10 minutes from The Talk, our girl, Cheryl Underwood.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, our girl from The Talk is here. Please introduce her, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cheryl Underwood.
Steve Harvey and the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Listen to me. I'm exhausted, been up all night long for the election returns.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Carla Pharrell's, do you have your finger on the dump button?
Let me tell K-Dog. Come on, Cheryl. Don't go there.
Two good words. I know, girl, but this sometime we got to say, Maxine Waters, girl, get him. Get him, girl. Let me tell you what's happening. Now that the Democrats have taken control of the House, guess what Maxine Waters going to be over?
Finance, right?
That's right. Yeah. Which means what, Shirley Scriberis?
Money.
There you go. Which means what? Banking,
lift me.
Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank, everybody, get ready, baby. City National, get ready, baby. And let me tell you what's good about this. What's good about it is the Democrats that are, they taking over. They got the seniority. Nancy Pelosi, she gonna keep her position. Everything. Schiff gonna get on that investigation. See, I said Schiff. See that, Carla.
I heard Schiff.
I heard
he about to take over the investigation. But Mueller ain't said nothing. Mueller got the head down working. They gonna find out what the Russians got on Trump's. And let me tell you how this gonna go. If they find out he done broke the law, I'm gonna tell you it ain't the Democrats President Trump need to worry about. It's the Republicans. And they say, well, they're not going to, the Senate won't vote to impeach him. If you bring them a good case, I bet you they will. It's sitting around going, I'll wait. But this was a good election. Stacey Abrams, girl, I wouldn't concede either. I don't give a doggone. Keep counting. You ain't got enough vote. Listen to me. I swear for Lord, I would not concede. I don't blame. Beto O'Rourke, it's okay to use the F-bomb. But
he did it, didn't he? He did it.
Did he say?
He used the good, though.
Yeah, because that's how they talk, Tommy. That's how the white folk talk.
Wait, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Cheryl.
Yeah.
We got Beto. Cat, you got it ready?
Showing the country how you do this.
That's right.
I'm so f***ing proud of you guys.
There you go. Right there. That's listen to me. That's white exuberance.
Uh-huh.
Remember Howard Dean?
If he did that on the campaign trail, he'd be governor of Texas.
Today, right now. Senator. Steve Harvey, you are absolutely right. But let me tell you something. These races was close. But this is the year of the woman. You got almost 100 women in the House.
Yes,
you got
Muslim
women. You got young Hispanic women. You got different races of women. Now, Republicans, y'all control some Manchin. Okay, in the Senate, he backed Kavanaugh, but he barely won. But let me tell you what I think. A lot of people, how do you say that? Talking loud and saying nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that got them in a trick bag. And now you got to worry about what's going to happen. Now people say, it's going to be more gridlock. Oh, no, it's not. See, Trump don't take well to a good fight or a pushback. And now that the Democrats control the House, now you're going to see some pushback because he don't understand the rules of the game. See, the Republicans having control of the House and the Senate allowed him to
much
do whatever
easier.
He wanted to do. But the other thing is, this breaks the control that the Republicans had over the House all the way back to the Tea Party. So your vote does matter. Your vote does count. And the Democrats got to understand, get ready for 2020 and start buying ads to get us closer to the Democrats. Democratic Party on all levels and in black newspaper and black media. Don't take us for granted.
You need to make up your mind, Cheryl.
What?
If you a Republican? Because you keep saying we, then you talk about Democrat.
Are you confused?
Pick one of these sides so I can know who I'm talking to.
You talking to we the peoples. You talking about we the peoples, and I'm we the peoples, and in order to have a perfect union, you need me. Why? Because I'm at all the Republican meetings sitting in the back, eating a sandwich, going, oh, I can't wait to get to the black church tomorrow so I can tell everybody what y'all doing. And I'm going to stay a Republican. There are a lot of people that switch parties. Oprah says she an independent. And I think celebrities getting involved in this process was good. But Trump did what he had to do. He took Air Force One into places where they ain't probably never seen a plane. You know what I'm saying? So they was excited.
Was I wrong? We got to vote for him.
Yeah, that's what they did, Junior. You know, anybody pull up a nice car, you know, he pulled up Air Force One. You ain't never seen that before. Last time you seen that, Harrison Ford was fighting somebody on the end of it.
They done retaking the plane.
That's right. Go ahead, Jamie Brown. That's the last time they saw the inside of Air Force One. Yeah, Harrison Ford was he wasn't flying it. He was fighting.
Nobody plays a more distressed-looking white man than Harrison Ford. He looks like it's all okay. Even in.
Yeah.
Now he gonna do something about it.
Yeah.
But boy, that boy sure know how to look concerned.
Yeah, man.
Convincing, huh?
Hey, Cheryl.
Yes, baby.
Before you go though, yes. can you please say a few words about Idris Elba, please? Sexiest
oh,
man
yes,
alive.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
Let me tell you, this is where I vote really counted, Shirley Strawberries. Because
okay.
yes, I voted yes. in every name I got: slave name, African name, Muslim name. But Idris Elba, fine, and he British. He good. He know how to play a criminal mm-hmm. and die good. He a D. DJ, he like regular women.
Cheryl.
That's why he need. It's only been Cheryl. Three black men that have done Denzel.
Is she listening?
What? Denzel
Cheryl,
did it. Idris.
Guess
what?
Who thought they should have been second?
Oh.
Who?
Who you think?
I'm sorry, Carla.
You almost said it too, Cheryl.
Yeah. She said, who?
Who? Tommy.
What's up, baby? Yeah, right here. What's going on?
Whenever they have a big booty and some skinny pants as beautiful man of the world. You in there? You got the big booty and the skinny pants on lock, boy. Let me tell you something. You going to pop a button one day and hit somebody in the eye. If
is this a little people joke? I need to jump in. If it's
yeah, no, you don't need to jump in.
Little dude with the skinny pants with the big booty. That's Tommy all day long.
All right, Cheryl, we thank you so very much. We'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we are this day after the election day. And Steve, you got a busy day today, huh? You're going over to where after
this? Yeah,
first
yeah,
take?
I got to leave a little bit early because I'm going over. First Take is in LA this week. And so Stephen A. Smith been pressing me. Boy, you got to come on the show. So this morning I'm going over to face First Take live this morning. I'll be on at 8. And
oh, nice.
So with Stephen A., Max Kellerman, and Molly Quinn Rose.
What are you going to be talking about?
Sports.
Your of favorite. Course.
What?
Probably going to get into a little bit of Cleveland. They're going I don't
okay.
know what, you know, I don't really need no.
LeBron.
I'm assuming,
the
yeah, they're going to ask me about LeBron, how I feel about Cleveland now, and
yeah.
what
yeah.
I see for the future of Cleveland. Same thing I saw in the past.
You taking pimping?
Wait, the same thing? What?
So they're going to ask me what I see in the future of Cleveland. Same thing I saw in the past. Don't ask me
what,
damn thing
what?
About Cleveland.
Baker Mayfield.
Dismal
baby.
And just pain.
No. You're not going to say no. anything good about Baker Mayfield? His name?
Oh, yeah, he's doing all right. We done fired Hugh Jackson. Oh, what the hell took so long?
You had that something on the own.
No, you can't handle no job, and you done lost 32 down. You done won one game in 32 tries.
Are you
Man.
Taking pimping? That's what I asked. Are you
No. Pimping is radio.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He made an appearance on Family Feud.
I saw that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, we gotta share it with the audience.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Oh, that's
yeah.
good, huh?
That's
so,
cute.
I'm going out here and, you know, spread the brand around a little bit.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Talk yeah. a little sports, set myself up for a future move I'm thinking about making.
You gonna buy a
what?
Team? What are you gonna do?
Oh, hell no. I ain't gonna
you finna buy Cleveland.
The whole city.
You're going to buy the Browns.
What are you going to do?
I promise you, I got $1 billion. It won't be for no damn team. I'm going to be somewhere in the water, man. Just, oof.
So I'm did y'all see Michael Irvin on First Take with Stephen A? With
oh, yeah, Monday Night Football. I mean,
yeah,
Monday.
Yeah.
Monday
I didn't see it. What
Why
happened?
He sweat so much? What's wrong with him?
Ooh, he was sweating.
Let me tell you something. You know why you quiet? Because I'm on your show. Michael Irvin was just going off on Stephen A.
Yeah.
I don't know
why. Are y'all going to get into
it? No.
This is my boy. I ain't going to be that combative. I know how to shut it down. Because I done told Stephen A. Smith many times.
What?
You know, you a better debater in sports, not knowledge guy than I am.
Yeah, he's...
And you and you're a better debater, and you know more about sports, but you are not as fly as me, and you will never be as funny as me. So I don't care how technical you get, don't mess around and get your crazy ass embarrassed.
Okay, so about that, what are you wearing then? Since you brought it up. Come on, almost sexiest man alive. Sexiest man alive on this show.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I know Tommy wants the title, but there's other things to be more than just how you physically look, which I must tell you is a bit odd and strange anyway. I don't understand why, we got to go through this every time the subject of sexy come up. And you don't understand how you second to Idris.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't.
And you don't understand how on this show you behind me.
Ain't nobody behind you.
Yes, you are.
We did the ranking. Yeah, yes,
they keep telling you.
Yeah,
that.
We did the ranking.
But you're not listening.
Where he sexy at? Where?
Boy.
Is that in a his question? Pockets.
That's, is that a question?
That's it, Jay. Thank you. Okay. At the bank.
No,
hold up. I can defend myself, ladies. Just hold on.
Okay.
Right. Where are you sexy at?
Oh, over, boy.
See, now the debate begins.
Yeah, because we got you if you can't defend yourself, see. We got you.
See.
Hell, I got you.
See, you mad because you think my sexiness comes from income. And I'm here to let you know a large part of it is.
Yeah. No, 99.9.
So, well, you know, if you want to be sexy, get your money up.
You going to flunk that.
Well, what you trying to flunk? Because your ass is higher than mine?
I'm flunking
my sexy.
Oh,
you think you supposed to get... Because when you turn sideways, your profile completely disappears? Oh,
God. No, it don't.
Do it, Shirley.
It disappears.
I'm talking to Shirley. Shirley, do my profile disappear when I...
Turn to the side.
What you see?
Tommy,
see
right there. Where'd you go? Tommy,
see there? You got jumped.
Where'd he go?
See how his chin and chest touch.
I know it don't.
That would be rather odd, Steve, if that happened.
Don't do that no more in here, man, the way you're looking at me.
Shut up, Junior.
All right, first take today. I can't wait. That's going to be fun. Yeah.
You want to change the subject, Shirley?
Yeah. I know.
Well, I'm going to do first take. I'm going to have some fun with my boy, Stephen A. Smith.
You still haven't told us what you're going to wear, though.
Oh,
what, at least what color?
What you got tuning in?
I don't really know. I think I'm going to wear.
It's winter. It's winter now.
Yeah, but you know, not in L.A.
Fall. But I know, but I mean fall, but on TV, though. You can wear it, you know.
Yeah, no, I ain't going to wear no wool.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to wear like a, let me see, I'm going to put on some form of pimpetry.
Pimpetry?
Is that a word?
Some form of pimpetry.
Come on. No,
pimpetry?
No, yeah, it is. I just
like
made
it.
That. Pimpetry,
like
man.
It.
Partner.
You can do that?
You come can't on with the pimpology.
I just said that. I'm going to wear on first take some form of pimpetry.
Some form.
Prepare yourself.
Because it was like a challenge you said to Stephen A. He's not going to be flyer than you or funnier.
Listen, let's stop
that's
this.
Kinda like a
y'all know good
challenge.
Well Stephen A. Smith can't outdress me. Let's cut this out.
No, this
not even a debate.
No, it's not even close.
Okay.
We'll stop this here. And then look who want to chime in. Little show.
It remains to be seen.
Yes, you do remain to be seen.
No, we're gonna. I'm gonna see what you have on this tape and
boy,
Stephen A.
I don't care what he wear.
You just gonna do you, boo.
I promise you when you see it.
Okay.
I'll give you my word. You're gonna say, God.
All right, more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show and this foolishness coming up.
I'm gonna put my feet up on the table
right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well, yesterday, guys, before Election Day, Texas Senator Ted Cruz and comedian and actor Jim Carrey went in on each other on Twitter.
You can't go with a comedian.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
I tell you who won that one.
Jim Carrey got the ball rolling by portraying Cruz as a vampire in a post supporting Democrats, including Beto O'Rourke. Carrey tweeted, "Go, Beto, go, Democrats." Monday, under a cartoon-like drawing of challenger Beto O'Rourke, pulling back curtains as Cruz fled from the sunlight. That's what a vampire would do, right?
Yeah.
Right. Carrey wrote, "Let the sunshine turn all those bloodsuckers." Then Cruz clapped back in a tweet, calling Carrey a self-described socialist, and added, "Vampires are dead, and everyone knows the dead vote Democrat."
That was a good clap back. I give him 6 or 7. That was good.
Someone probably wrote it for him anyway.
Well, what Carrey come back with?
All right. It didn't stop there, please believe. Then Carrey clapped back and tweeted, "Wow, I'm sorry I rattled your chain at Ted Cruz. I thought you would have had more important things to do 2 days before an election, like sucking up to the guy who called your wife ugly and accused your dad of murder." But I get it. It's hard to say no when Trump grabs you by the bleep.
Drop the mic. Well, you know what? That's what makes a good comeback. Facts.
Make a great comeback. That's right, Junior.
Yeah, like you can implement facts. Very hard not to ignore that.
And the other thing about being a comedian, we don't care about getting beat up because we going for the funny.
Yeah.
And we got the mic stand. Yes. So be careful when you run up over here.
Yeah. And we don't go for popularity.
We
just going for the statement.
We go for the, ooh, he shouldn't have said that.
Did y'all hear that?
What is it, Jay? I love that.
Ooh, he shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, Carrey won the clap back, but Cruz won the election, so there you go. Yeah.
But whatever, though. Can we hear from Beto?
Yeah.
Can we hear from our candidate?
Let's hear that. Come on.
Let me hear that again.
This is the best clap back of all.
Showing the country how you do this. I'm so f***ing proud of you guys.
I'm so f***ing proud of you guys.
And the winner is Beto.
I'm so f***ing proud of you guys.
My nephew high school team can't win a game. I'm playing that.
Showing the country how you do this.
Yeah.
I'm so f***ing proud of you guys.
Yeah, Kev, we ain't winning.
Hey, they should play that at every Browns game.
That's what Hugh should have been playing.
I'll tell you what Jason Garrett said last night.
What did he say?
After they lost.
What did he say?
Showing the country how you do this. I'm so f***ing proud of you guys.
That's what Beto O'Rourke said to his father.
Gillum should have said it. He really should have.
Yeah. Oh, Gillum was so close.
Yeah, he was so close. He really
He'll be back. He ran a classy race.
All right. Yeah, he did. We'll have more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. So, Junior, off the air, you were talking about this football player and the tapes that his team asked him to watch.
Back in the day.
What happened?
DeMarcus Russell. But this just goes to show you.
What's his name? DeMarcus Russell.
Yeah, DeMarcus Russell. This just goes to show you.
He was with the Raiders?
Yeah, he with the Raiders.
Can I say one thing, Junior? This is from the file. The man ain't giving me a break.
Yeah. This is why you lose your job, because the man ain't giving me a break.
Okay. So what happened?
He was not good in NFL. He wasn't a good quarterback.
Okay.
And why not? The coaches knew something was wrong. They said, man, he not getting all the audibles right. He keep throwing all these interceptions. What's going on? So they gave him some tapes to study. For the other team.
Okay, because that's normal.
They do that. It's normal.
That's homework.
That's homework. So then they go back and they ask him, "Hey, man, you watch the tapes?" He said, "Yeah." Then you just went back to each other and said, "You know what? He ain't watching film because we ain't putting nothing on the tapes."
The tapes were blank.
They blank.
They were just blank.
Wow.
They tricked them. You watched them black lines.
But you know where this starts at. This starts as when you're a child and your mama said, "Did you wash them dishes?" Yeah, they done. And she go down and them dishes still sitting there.
Or you just put them up, Jay, and they were dirty when you put them up.
Or you turn that dishwasher on. Yeah, I turned it on. You ain't turned on nothing.
We learned to lie at a very young age.
Or did you take a bath? Yeah. But look behind.
But you stink.
Oh, girls could not get away with that.
That's a big one in my mama's house right now.
What's that?
What? My little nephew, you take a bath? I did, but the crazy part about a tub dry. Ain't nothing in the tub dry.
Or if they go in there, the time in there is very quick.
Yeah. Right? Now, that's Jordan. That's my son. Uh-huh. In and out in 45 seconds.
Paint bait.
45 seconds. He dried, the towel dry. Come on, man.
Let's go back in here, man.
Whew.
My cousin used to go in, lock the door, run the bath water, sit on the side of the tub. I know because he told us eventually. And then come out and throw some water on his body like he just got off.
But you spend more time.
And on the towel.
You spend more time faking it. You might want to take a bath.
Let's get in the water.
But we kids. We got more time. It's time to play. Yeah. I ain't got time for water and soap. I got toys out here I got to get to.
Oh, so that's what it is.
Yeah, we trying to play.
You just want to be dirty.
No.
My son would come home from a baseball game. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Take all his stuff off.
Yeah.
And crawl in the bed with me.
No.
Hey, no. That's when your mama say, you smell like outside.
Yeah.
Get out the bed, boy.
I used to hate my mama saying that too. Like, what's that smell? I know that's
like
me. It ain't dinner.
You're too little to be that funky. Go take a bath, boy.
When you know it's bad, when your baby's three and you putting grown man deodorant on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know it's bad.
That baby's strong. You know, you say, don't hold the baby by his arm because you're going to break him.
Remember that?
Don't hold the baby because you're going to break him. Uh-huh. That opens that funk. Hold the baby up by the arm, see if they'll get strong.
That's that stank.
That's like my nephew who used to go, we called it down south in Chicago. We would go down south. He would go to Arkansas or wherever to visit. And there are certain parts you could just go to the bathroom outside. So he came back to Chicago in my mother's front yard, and he wanted to do the same thing, just pee in the front yard. And he got mad when she told him, no.
I can't pee out here.
We'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Woo! We didn't think we could make it. We would make it, but we did. We made it. It is the day after the midterm election.
We've been up all night.
We did our thing. We voted.
I got so many numbers in my head. 48%, 48.49%, 51.2%.
We all need a break.
80% of the precincts reporting.
All of that.
57,000 votes ahead. That's all I know.
Yeah, we're winning right now, but we got 75% more coming.
Just win this area over here, they might win.
This county.
We look down here in the blue county. Now, this is the Democratic area, but we have those votes have not come in yet. Oh, man.
I want to give a shout out to John.
And why were they bringing up Hillary's name? Hillary wasn't even running.
I know. But I am proud of us, though. Yeah. Those of us who
voted.
Good.
We did go out and vote. And we stood in line.
Yeah, this was an important election for all of us, and we did. The Democrats picked up in the House. We will have control over the House now. So that's good. Congratulations.
And 112 women.
A lot of women. Yeah. That's
congratulations
right.
Congratulations to the ladies.
Yeah, girl power. Girl power.
Ladies.
Yeah, a lot of the race is still a bit too close to call right now. Mississippi, we were.
A runoff?
So Mississippi, Mike SP.
SP.
Whenever I say his name, I think Mike Epps.
Mike Epps is not running. No, I know Mike Epps ain't running.
Yeah, but in Mississippi, it's a very handsome Mike SP. All right.
Okay.
So he'll be in a runoff. So we still have to continue our civic duty. And when the runoff comes, I think it's next month.
Got
to
get out and vote.
Or later this month. Yeah. Yeah. No, November 27th, we have to get out and vote again. Mm-hmm. All right?
That's right. In
Georgia.
See it through. Finish the job.
That's right. That's right,
and
Carla.
The reason we flipped the House is because we got out and vote. I mean, we as a people got out and vote, and that's how the House got voted.
That's right.
Really
that's right.
Y'all did it.
That's
Y'all
right. It. Continue to watch Georgia with Stacey Abrams and
see what that outcome is.
Kemp, yeah. See what that
it's
outcome is.
It's real close.
Because, they may have a runoff in December.
December.
Yeah.
We have part of her
speech saying why she isn't going to concede just yet, or why she isn't going to give a concession speech. We played it earlier this morning. Kat, do you still have it?
Votes remain to be counted. There are voices that were waiting to be heard. Across our state, folks are opening up the dreams of voters in absentee ballots, and we believe our chance for a stronger Georgia is just within reach.
Amen.
Right with you.
Amen.
Right with you.
Amen. Keep it positive. Keep hope alive. All of that, Stacey Abrams.
Can I just say this?
What?
I know Cruz won, but I don't think stuff's still right at the house.
I told you earlier. His wife voted
for
him.
You know what?
You're right, Jay. That's probably the most focused congratulations he got. Congratulations.
And now, didn't he say he wants to be senator for all people now? He said that, right?
Yes, daddy don't even want to go fishing with you no more. You know what I'm saying? When your daddy don't want to fish with you, you got a problem. You understand that?
It's an issue.
It can't be that nice at the house. I don't think it is.
But I'll tell you this here. I wouldn't be. I'd be real slow on eating my wife dinner. I'm just telling you.
Congratulations, honey. I made dinner.
Something that ain't special.
Cruz be out there in the yard talking to his neighbors. They be like, she's still tripping, huh?
He had a big celebration at his headquarters in Houston last night. And you're right, Shirley.
Who did? Cruz.
Senator Ted Cruz. Uh-huh. And he, you know, wanted to speak to Beto's supporter, saying that he is a senator for the state of Texas, and that now he wants to work together. So we'll see. You know, everybody looking twist.
They all say that.
Yeah.
They all say that.
But
so he did his celebration speech the other night.
Ted Cruz? Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I was wondering, when did he pull his head out?
You know who else made a speech? That was Beto O'Rourke. He did his concession speech.
Beto came with it, boy.
Let's hear a little bit of that, shall we?
Yes, we
shall
have to.
We?
Showing the country how you do this. I'm so f***ing proud of you guys.
You know what?
I love it.
I'm going to beat y'all to it. I'm going to make this T-shirt right here.
That's my favorite.
I'm going to make this T-shirt right here.
I was listening on the radio, and that's when you look at your radio. And you go, what?
That was a good bleep job.
I love that, man. That energy said that. Yeah. I'm playing it everywhere.
A good Gilliam and Beto, they got a great spirit after losing.
Gilliam.
You guys did.
They have great spirit after losing, man.
Yeah. I don't think he has to either.
Well, yeah, Andrew Gillum ran a classy race.
And
classy,
close, man. Close. It was so
close.
I mean, you know, he still lost, but he did. And I know we will be hearing a lot more from him in the future.
Yeah, he's still on the front lines.
Yes, he is. And congratulations on all the hard work you did and everyone. I mean, this was a hard one right here. This was a tough race for everyone.
113 million people voted.
Yeah, that's a lot. We did our jobs.
Never trust the votes out of Florida ever.
That's
ever,
true.
Ever,
it's always
ever.
Florida politics.
It's always Florida politics.
Always.
Florida politics.
Yeah. So, congratulations. And, you know, we got to keep this fight going.
We got the house.
Yeah.
Hey.
And 2020 is coming up, guys.
We in the house.
I can't tell how many times I've heard that in court. I got the house.
Jay, you are crazy.
We got the house now. Trump will have a lot of opposition there, Jay.
A lot of those guys, they say, you know, they won't. They do better as candidates when they have a family, a wife, and a family, and all of that. Mm-hmm. So, Jay, is that why you've never run for office?
Nah, you got to show your family and this is
Jay. Jay run for office?
You have to have a wife.
You won't take all them people up there that I know.
We got to get out of here, guys.
Bitter man.
Thank you for listening. We love you so much. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.